All right, well, good to see you. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse 2 through 7. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And then if you would, turn over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is dealing with characteristics of the last days. And he says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, The Legacy of Mothers. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul, writer of several books of the New Testament, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in some of the most famous passages, most well-known passages of the New Testament, he calls upon this young elder, this young preacher, to remember the legacy of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. I think that's significant. Here he is instructing this young preacher, and he's telling him, don't forget the lessons, the teaching, the example that your mother and your grandmother gave to you. Now, there are many liberal theologians in our day and age that say that Paul's writings were degrading toward women. I believe, when properly understood, they uplift and exalt the role of women in the home and in society at large. So I believe nothing could be farther from the truth in the light of these texts of Scripture. Paul reminds Timothy of the legacy of faith and scriptural truth that were instilled in him by his grandmother and his mother. And it appears that these two women were believers in the Holy Scriptures, which at the time of this writing were the Old Testament Scriptures. So So they believed those words that pointed them to the coming Messiah. They were already familiar with it. And when Paul went to Lystra and he preached the gospel there, they readily received the truth as it is in Jesus, that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to die in the stead of His people, that He was buried, that He rose again. They believed and embraced the truth of the work of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. And moms, grandmothers, teach that to your children every day. Make it a part of your life to tell them about the glory of the crucified and risen Christ. Well, not only did they receive the truth when Paul was preaching, but Paul was also instrumental in the conversion of young Timothy, as he refers to him as his beloved son in the faith. So he had an influence on this young preacher. And he wrote two inspired epistles, two letters, to instruct him how to be an elder in a church, how to be a pastor of one of the Lord's churches. So today I'd like to examine the legacy of mothers and grandmothers from a biblical perspective. And as I was praying and meditating and studying, it hit me that today is my first Mother's Day without my mom. And I learned a lot from my mother. And I really miss her. And she really taught me how to persevere in all circumstances of life. She taught me how to be tough. She was the toughest woman I ever knew. She also taught me a lot about discipline, because I got a lot of it. My mother spanked. She not only spanked me, as I got older, she actually would put a whooping on me. Remember one time my grandmother had to pull her off of me. And my mom didn't weigh more than 110 pounds. But I was scared of her. But the one that really I will never forget, it was the first time I ever ran away. I think I was 8, maybe. I was an avid reader. I was reading Huckleberry Finn. I got the bright idea I was going to run away. And I got as far as the elementary school, and I spotted an apple tree. Well, I didn't know one apple from another. It was a crab apple tree. And I thought, well, I can just live here. I can live off these apples. Well, I ate about 10 of them, got sick as a dog. And then comes my mother. I'm already, my stomach's hurting. She grabbed me by the ear and marched me all the way home. And she said, "You're going to get the beating of your life. Your dad is going to whip you for running away." She said, "You better never do it again." Well, the next time I did it, I got it even worse. But I learned that it's important to discipline your children and train them in a way that's right. No matter how sick my mother was, every time I called, she never complained. I was amazed how much strength the Lord gave her to fight till she took her last breath. So it is a bittersweet day today for me. Now, the first point that I have this morning is the importance of a godly mother. There is no doubt that young Timothy had many important teachers who influenced his Christian life. However, Paul calls upon this young preacher to remember the unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned means pure, sincere, free of hypocrisy. He said, remember her unfeigned faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And Paul urges Timothy to never forget the scriptural foundation that was given by his mother and his grandmother. And it tells me something. How vital, how important the role of a mother is in shaping young lives. They probably have more influence than anyone else, especially in the formative years. How important is a godly mother, a devoted mother, a faithful mother? Well, she had the task of nourishing her baby for 9 months in the womb. And thank God for mothers who are pro-choice, who choose to do what's right. Because I think that's the only kind of pro-choice that there ought to be. You choose to do what's right. You determine that you're going to be the best mother that you can possibly be and give your child everything that you can do to form its precious life and character. And I believe that's something that every mother, it's part of the maternal instinct. Mom endured the pain and the joy of childbirth. Mom cares for that little child, her little ones. You realize babies are completely dependent on their mother and sometimes their father. It's comical around Katie's. She's the one with the little baby now, Ezra. Ezra, he's a mean kid. If he wants something, he don't ask for it, or he hadn't learned that yet. It's the way little baby, the third one always is. It's the way Aaron was too, except Aaron wasn't near as loud as Ezra. But when Ezra wants something, he just goes, "Aah!" And what's funny is on the weekends, Dean has to change the diapers, usually. And I tell you what, it's a sight to see him change Ezra's diaper because he can't take it. But old Katie takes it every day. But moms, you know what it is to care for your little ones, to nurse, to feed, to clothe, to protect, to sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Mom is often the first one to quote scripture to that little child. Herbert Lockyer said, mothers do not exist solely to satisfy maternal instincts and to have children they can nurse and fondle. But the bringing into the world of eternal entities, males and females, which are to live for good or woe forever and ever. Christian mothers are the prime kingdom builders, chief soul molders, conspicuous character constructors, and foremost recruiting agents for the eternal realms above. Thank God for mothers who influence their children for good and for truth. Sad, but true, that this is all but absent in society today. Don't ever underestimate the importance and value of a godly, devoted mother who is faithful, who never gives up on her children, who desires the best for them. And moms, the best you can give your kids is not a degree or worldly prosperity. There's nothing wrong with that. But when people ask me, how are your kids doing? I say they're serving the Lord. They're going to church. I'm thankful that they're training their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because that's the most important thing. To teach them the truth as it is in Jesus. It's more important than money or possessions or land or houses or cars or prominent places in society. So thank God for mothers who are devoted to raising their family in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We live in a day and age where traditional motherhood is often mocked and scorned and derided. And it's not hard to see that the absence of godly mothers, what that lack of influence for truth has had upon our society. Things aren't like they used to be. There's very little respect for authority. And I think it's because there is an absence of godly parents to train their children in the fear of the Lord. Today, it sorrows my heart to think that in the United States, since 1973, it has been legal to exterminate children. And now they're even pushing for not just abortion on demand, but abortion if that baby survives that horrific procedure, that they be permitted to kill it while it's alive and out of the womb. That is unnatural. It's unholy. But this is people who make laws like that demonstrate their depravity. We live in a world that does not value motherhood, that does not consider it a sacred calling. But if you're a Bible believer, if you believe in the authority of the Word of God, you understand how vital mothers are. It's sad when you read of so many babies being born addicted to drugs and to painkillers and alcohol due to the negligence of their mother. It's troublesome. We need to pray that God will lay hold on these young mothers, that will put within them a desire to know Jesus Christ and the way of truth and the way of life. Sadly, many mothers in our world are teaching their children how to lie, how to cheat, how to steal to get what they want. Well, you talk about a cardinal sin when I was growing up. If my mother caught me lying. Now, you think that the preacher has never lied, right? Yeah, I'm bursting your little bubble, ain't I? You hate to hear that your preacher was such a depraved kid. When I got caught lying, it was almost like a death sentence. And I got caught quite a few times. My mother taught me what's right and what's wrong. But we're living in a day and age where a lot of young people have no moral foundation whatsoever. They don't know what's right from wrong. They don't understand the importance of authority and of obedience. And these are things that parents have to instill in their children from the earliest of ages. Many mothers are emotionally and physically abandoning their children to fulfill their own desires. Moms, you know this. When you have a child, your whole life is devoted to them. To bringing them up, to teaching them truth. So let us never underestimate the importance of godly mothers. And then the instruction of a godly mother. Mom is the first instructor and educator of her children. From the time that they're born, children are learning from their mother. And young people, you better thank God if you've got parents that fear the Lord. Parents that bring you to God's house, that teach you the truth, that tell you about Jesus. I'm hopeful that your parents don't go home every Sunday and have roast preacher. A lot of church people sometimes they act like they at least tolerate the sermon while they're here. And I know right now you all are looking pretty sober. Maybe you've been having some roast preacher over this Facebook Live, huh? Where nobody can hear you. But you know what it does? You go home and you talk bad about the preacher, about people in the church. And you know what? It brings an air of disrespect into your home. You need to teach them to respect other people. Respect the pastor. And respect the truth that he preaches. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from him. I'm always reminded when I talk about having a roast preacher, about the guy that, the evangelist. I've told this joke several times. Katie probably remember it and really will get a kick out of it. I preached a couple weeks ago on about heaven, you know. And Joe's comment was, I've heard all those stories a lot. I said, thanks for the compliment, Joe. You know, he's trying to find something good about the sermon. He said, all he could say was, I've heard all that. That's one of the downfalls of being a pastor for 27 years in the same place. You hear all the stories. Well, this guy was holding a revival meeting, an evangelist. And every night, this little kid would come out and he'd hand the preacher at the end of the service, he'd hand him a quarter. And a kid, every night, this evangelist, he'd take that quarter. Finally, about the end of the week, he said, son, I want to know why in the world have you been giving me a quarter after every church service? He said, well, every night at supper, my daddy says you're about the poorest preacher he's ever heard. He says, so I thought I was just going to help you out a little bit. So I hope you're not saying that when you get home, Ed. I believe that young Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who taught and trained him in the Holy Scriptures. They taught him the law of God, as well as the saving truth of the gospel. They taught him how to apply the truths and the principles of Scripture, which is the essence of true wisdom. They no doubt sang psalms to him. They no doubt read to him the Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. They no doubt talked about the promises of the coming Messiah. Moms and grandmoms, every day is a teaching experience in the life of your children. Every day you're teaching them something. You're influencing them one way or another. That's why seize every opportunity Every Bible story, every devotional time, every prayer time, seize those opportunities. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sounds to me like all day is a teaching opportunity for children and grandchildren. Be diligent in training young minds in the truth. It was J.R. Miller, or John Wesley said this, I learned more from my mother than all the theologians in England. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Susanna Wesley had 18 children. Can you imagine? And she was a homeschooler. 18 kids. We're living in an age where many mothers have completely checked out when it comes to instruction and the education of their children. Most kids are more familiar with the internet, with television, than they are with the truth of the Scriptures. Be sure of this. Someone is educating your children. More often than not, they're not teaching them good things. We've been homeschooling Adeline and Gavin, and I got to say, I'm really proud of them. Not always proud of me, because I'd get aggravated at times, but you know what? Every day, we prayed with them. Every day, they would read Scripture. And I know they weren't getting that at school. So I'm thankful for that opportunity, and I pray that God will use it. But we need to do that every day. Moms, dads, have devotions with your family. Have prayer with your family. Because a lot of kids have no influence for good. And you see it in the way kids, so many kids today, have no respect for men. I call it the Homer Simpson syndrome. On TV, almost every dad is depicted as a bumbling idiot like Homer Simpson. And kids, they talk like, what's his kid's name? Bart. They talk so disrespectfully to their dad. And that bleeds into everything. Moms, wives, your kids see how you talk to your husband. Be respectful. Teach him the truth. Teach him to respect authority. If children were being educated in the ways of truth and godliness, I can't help but think that there wouldn't be near as much drug abuse, alcohol abuse, abortion, divorce, immorality, fornication, adultery, violence, pornography. I think the rates of those things would be decreasing rather than accelerating. But it begins at the beginning of life. You got to teach them. You got to train them. And then lastly, you know I mean it when I say lastly. I'm not a Pharaoh. I'm going to let you go. The influence of a godly mother. Little eyes are watching you. Moms and grandmothers. Whether you like it or not, your life is influencing your children. Good or bad, they'll model the behavior, the attitudes, the habits that you have imprinted on them. They'll see your devotion to God, your desire for spiritual things, your love for your husband, your faithfulness to Christ, your honesty and integrity of character, your work ethic. I thank God my mom and my dad instilled on me, in me and my sister, the importance of work. I never remember ever going up to my dad and saying, "Hey man, I'm going somewhere, could I have $20? He probably just would have laughed at me. I did the same thing with him. I'm giving you no money. You got to earn it. My dad and mom, my dad never was on unemployment. We never used food stamps. Now my dad worked a lot and my mother stayed home with us kids. And she was faithful. This was long before microwaves. I'd come home from football practice or basketball practice, and my mother would have a plate for me every night. We ate supper every night. And if I was gone for practice or for work, my mother always had a plate wrapped in aluminum foil every single night. I'll never forget things like that. Your discipline, your humility, your love, your concern for their souls. Those are things that your children will never forget. Your love for the Lord, your faithfulness to God. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, said, "All that I am, my mother made me." So, moms, I've preached a message right from the Scriptures where God inspired Paul to instruct Timothy to remember the unfeigned faith of his grandmother and his mother, to remember what they had taught him. May God help us. I'm praying for revival in our country. I'm praying for an awakening, because really we need an awakening. We need more people saved. We need people brought to an end of themselves to trust in Jesus Christ. And then the young people that we do have, we need to pray that God will save them. And that God will put a desire in their hearts to walk in His ways rather than the ways of this world. We need to pray that God will protect them from all the ungodliness and all the wickedness of this world. And then pray that God will use them to take the truth that they know and teach it to their children after them. That's how strong churches are built. May God bless us and help us. I thank God for faithful moms. I thought about preaching something else today, and I thought, you know why I do this every Mother's Day? I'm going to preach a Mother's Day message. I want to try to be as normal as possible in getting back in the swing of things. I'm a little uncomfortable. I've never preached in front of a phone before. And hopefully all the kinks will get ironed out. Can I tell you how much I love you? How thankful I am to see you in the house of God. What a blessing it is to be able to assemble with like-minded believers who love the Lord Jesus. I pray that we never take this privilege for granted, and that we'll be even more faithful than we ever have been before. Let's all stand.